Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of November 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will help us discover what's been happening in the cash grain market. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies. They're in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll hear from your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. We'll have all the news for the day. And Daryl Good will drop by with a look at the difference between FSA and USDA NAS acreage figures. If it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. Let's check out the numbers as they finished in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were down 4.25 cents in the nearby contract at $3.77.5. The March futures there at $3.90.5 were down 3.75 cents in May, down 3.75 cents as well at $3.99. July futures 4.06.5, 3.25 lower. December at 4.21.5, down 2.5 cents from the soy complex. Bean futures were up 13.75 cents to settle $10.36 and a quarter. The March at 10:44, 13.75 cents higher. In May futures up 13.5 at 10:50 and a quarter. July contract 10:55, that's up 12.75 cents in the August futures at 10:55 and three quarters, 12.5 higher. November up 10.5 cents at $10.25. Bean meal futures for the day in Chicago at $3.87.10, up $7.20. And the bean oil for the afternoon at $32.45, 25 cents higher. Chicago soft red winter wheat finished the July or harvest month at $5.67.5, 8 cents lower. The hard red Kansas City in the July at $6.03.25, down 7 cents for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $170.90 in the December, 70 cents higher. The February at 172.15, up 87.5 cents. Feeder cattle, November contract 239.95, 5 cents lower. January at 237.57.5, up $1.45. And lean hogs for the day in the December at 92.72.5, a nickel higher on the afternoon. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day is currently trading the nearby contract at $75.51 a barrel, up 31 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.40. That's a penny and 0.6 cents lower. Gasoline prices at $2.02 and 0.6 cents, a penny and 0.6 cents lower as well on the wholesale price. And natural gas at $4.33, up 31 cents for the day. Ethanol futures are currently trading the nearby contract at the CME Group in Chicago. That's at 206 and 7 tenths, up 4 and 7 tenths of a cent. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 11 points, 17,615. Gold futures around $1,186, or a dollar higher. And the gold futures, or rather, U.S. dollar is currently trading the index at 88.005. That's up 0.415 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Scattered snow showers today. Mostly cloudy, high of just 25 degrees. Wind chills between 3 and 11. It will be cold and already is. It'll be breezy with a west wind at 21 miles an hour, gusting 29. Chance of precipitation set at 30% for the afternoon. Scattered flurries before midnight tonight. Mostly cloudy and a low of just 8 degrees. That's right, 8 degrees. Wind chills between negative 9 and 1. Remember, it's only November, folks. Tuesday, mostly sunny and a high of 21. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and the low of 15. Wednesday, sunny and 34. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 18. Thursday, sunny skies and 30 degrees. And Thursday night, partly cloudy and 16 to start the weekend. Friday, mostly sunny and 30. Friday night, partly cloudy and 22. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies there in Chicago, Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this Monday afternoon, let's check the futures trade in Chicago with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. And more importantly to us this week, he will be one of our many panelists at the Farm Assets Conference in 1 week from today in Normal, Illinois. You don't have to go very far. It's a good deal for you. How are you doing today?
Yeah, it's across town there, so I can be right in my backyard for a change.
Yeah, usually you have to travel a pretty good distance, so you're on next week. Pete will be there too. And then actually tomorrow night, Pete Manhart will be with Jackie Vakes and Matt Bennett in Clinton, Illinois, at the building that belongs to Richland Community College at 6:30. With that, for a quick little Will Ag panel, thanks to the folks over at WHOW and to Lincoln State Bank for sponsoring that one. I'm looking forward to that. What are they going to be able to talk to us about in the way of trade in Chicago? I'm kind of interested to know why it is that soybeans rallied again today.
Well, we tried the downside. Well, we were both sides. Sunday night, we started firm. Remained firm, then we kind of tailed off as the evening, early morning hours materialized. We were testing the lows, and Jan beans got down to 22. There's some fairly good support at 10:20, and I think we saw some buying interest surface there. Then no more of that happened. We saw the export inspections report come out, and we shipped out 3.3 million metric tons of beans, and that's kind of positive. We're shipping out what we're selling. Then as we moved into the 10 o'clock hour and into later trade, we saw the monthly crush report come out. The trade was looking for 150 million bushels being crushed in the beans for the products, and it came out over 157 million bushels of beans being crushed, just showing that we've had strong demand due to strong meal demand. So it confirms what we've been hearing. The exporter and the crusher's kind of been fighting each other here this fall to gather inventory and to meet the needs that surfaced here. The key is we can sort of follow through on today's little hook reversal back up. We had quite a bit of support on the way down at this 1042, 1044 area basis GM bean. So on the way up, that's probably going to be some resistance above the market if we can get there in the overnight trade, Todd.
You think we'll make it?
I think we can follow through. This market's going to zig and zag. I believe we've got to expect wide trading ranges. It kind of feels like the $10 level is going to provide some support and back above 1060, 1065's resistance. It feels like the trade just wants to move this thing back and forth for a while. Probably the popular thing between now and Friday is these December bean options go off. And there's quite a bit of interest in the trade selling these 1030 combos, 1020 combos, and looking for the markets kind of stay range bound going into that option expiration.
Well, you seen the corn market for the day?
It kind of just weak, but to go along with your question on the bean strength, for the last 8 months, we've seen quite a bit of popularity in spreads. And today we saw them come back in, buy bean, sell corn, buy bean, sell wheat. It seems this type of spread's been extremely popular, and as they bought beans, it kind of kept the lid on the corn and the wheat. Corn just lagging. The strength of the dollar, if you want to go down that road, probably be more detrimental or bearish the corn. Corn shipments, corn sales just continue to lag. And when you drive around the countryside in some areas, there's a million bushel piles out there. So it's going to be hard for corn to get going here unless beans really explode to the upside, or we see some other stimulus to get the trade turned to be buyers of corn. The thing that can support the corn is harvest is wrapping up. Guys, once they fill the bin, pay minimum storage, it's awful hard to shake it loose. So the thing in the corns, probably basis improvement. And that's starting to come around in most areas, and that's going to be the key here as we move into middle December.
What do you think things look like when we get to February of the 2015 year?
I kind of feel that's the next down phase price-wise. Conspiracy-wise, we rallied here this fall for crop revenue indications, and I imagine we'll probably be soft during February, being a conspiracy, so we'll have to deal with lower prices for insurance premiums when they come out. But the thing is once the calendar turns 2015 and these big, huge piles out here, there's going to be concern, especially weather-wise, starts to warm up, a lot of this corn's going to have to be moved. Guys aren't going to be too brave having these piles set around going into July.
Do you suppose those piles will stick around that long, or do we have enough usage to move them more quickly than that? I take it you're of the idea that the piles will remain.
Well, I think they're going to be around for a while. They're going to be moved. They're not going to let them sit there. There's some usage around. I imagine the most of the usage or movement is going to be through the river, visiting with these people that trade cash grain, that fill barges for some major grain companies, but they can get a hold of barges and they're going to try to move as long as the river cooperates here this winter. So they'll eventually be moved. Big yield, but big demand, and it's just a matter of the logistics of it getting it moved around.
We have many 8-degree lows like tonight, and it won't stay open for very much longer, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, I guess it's frozen. Ice and over an area is fairly good, yes. But that's going to be the concern on the river, yes.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. And we look forward to talking with you next Monday, not on the program, but in normal there at the Marriott Hotel for our Farm Assets Conference.
Looking forward to it, Todd.
All right. Thanks so much. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Tyson Foods says its sales grew 14% in the September quarter on higher prices in its beef and pork segments, along with increased volumes in its prepared foods category, thanks to its Hillshire Brands acquisition. For the period ending September 27th, the company reported a profit of $137 million, or 35 cents a share. Chicken segment sales rose slightly to $2.79 billion on a 2.3% increase in volume. Beef sales grew 18% with a 22% increase in prices, offsetting a 2.6% decline in volume. Pork sales grew 16% to $1.63 billion, benefiting from a 17% increase in prices. And prepared food sales jumped 26% to $1.23 billion. Japan's economy unexpectedly shrank in the third quarter as housing and business investment declined following a tax hike, dragging the country into a recession. The world's third largest economy contracted at a 1.6% pace in the July-September quarter. Housing investment in Japan plunged 24% from the same quarter a year ago. Australia Today successfully completed negotiations after 9 years with its biggest trading partner, China, on a free trade deal. Under the deal, 85% of all Australian exports will enter China tariff-free. A feasibility study on a China-Australia free trade deal found it could increase the value of trade by $18 billion over a decade. Two-way flow of goods and services between the two countries was valued at more than $130 billion last year. A handful of major companies and farm groups have laid out some privacy and security principles for acquiring and securing farm data. The American Farm Bureau Federation says the goal of the agreement is to encourage farmers to take advantage of the growing number of tools for precision agriculture to help boost productivity and profitability while companies commit to protecting producer information. The agreement comes after nearly a year of discussion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is your Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, and he will be in Normal, Illinois, along with myself and a dozen of our regular analysts for our Farm Assets Conference a week from today. You can be there, too. Just go online right now at willag.org and order your tickets or call 800-898-1065. Should be a great afternoon. Actually, a great day in Normal at the Marriott Hotel for $25 a dozen analysts. We'll also have three University of Illinois experts to take up crop insurance, the price of farmland, and the ARC PLC decision, which, by the way, begins today. Don't do anything about it now. In fact, they'll probably tell you next week not to do anything about it until the end of March, but you want to be prepared, so come to our Farm Assets Conference, and we'll help you get started at willag.org or 800-898-1065. Speaking of being prepared, tomorrow evening we'll be in Clinton, Illinois. This is in Clinton at the Richland Community College, WHOW, one of our affiliate stations at 1520 AM is sponsoring a Will Ag panel, including Matt Bennett, Pete Manhart, and Jackie Vakes. It's at the Richland Community College building in Clinton, Illinois, tomorrow evening. That starts at 6:30. It's open and free. Come on out if you get the chance. That's tomorrow night in Clinton on Tuesday evening at 6:30 at the Richland Community College building. You know, the Farm Service Agency releases certified numbers of planted acres for major crops in the United States. It updates the numbers throughout the growing season. Over time, these numbers catch up with USDA's official estimate. This year, however, those numbers are lagging behind for corn and soybeans. It is not unusual for large differences to exist between USDA and FSA acreage data early in the reporting season. It starts in August for the Farm Service Agency, but the gap is usually closed in early October. This year, the difference still remains. The two agencies are 5 million acres apart for corn. FSA will update its figures December the 15th and again in January after it's gathered completed reporting by farmers. NASS will release a final estimate of planted acreage in the annual crop production report on the 12th day of January 2015. That estimate will reflect data from the large December agricultural survey as well as other administrative data, primarily FSA planted acreage estimates, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, and that there are important ratios currently out of historical context.
Since NASS uses FSA planted acreage reports as input to its final acreage estimates, the differences between final estimates from the two agencies have historically been relatively constant and much smaller than the current difference of 5 million acres. In November, FSA indicated that producers have reported planted acres of soybeans of only 81.392 million acres, about 2.8 million acres less than the NASS estimate. Like corn, the differences between final estimates from the two agencies have historically been relatively constant and much smaller than the current difference of 2.8 million.
From 2007 to 2013, the final differences between the two acreage reports averaged about 1.3 million acres for soybeans. These differences will narrow with the December and January reports from the two agencies, says Darrell Good. How the differences narrow will have important price implications for corn and soybeans. Last year, for example, most of the narrowing in the corn estimate was the result of NASS lowering its acreage figure. For soybeans, the narrowing was the result of almost equal changes from NASS and FSA. The FSA estimate increased and the NASS estimate decreased.
While many have suggested that higher corn futures prices in October reflected the delayed harvest, The increase was likely more the result of the market's anticipation that the NASS estimate of harvested acreage would ultimately decline. After all, a delayed harvest doesn't alter the crop size and should have impacted the basis, not the price level. The expectation of less corn acreage was confirmed in the October crop production report. The November FSA report suggests that further declines are likely. In contrast, a small change in either direction seems more likely for soybeans.
Again, to paraphrase Darrell Good, he thinks the corn market is already reflecting a decrease in the official NASS planted acreage figure. That happened in October when the corn market rallied in Chicago. The caveat here being that it may not yet fully reflect the corn acreage reduction. The soybean figure seems to Darrell Good to be closer to on target, with an equal chance of a small change in either direction. If you'd like to read more from Darrell Good, you can do that each and every Monday afternoon on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address there is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. A quick look at the weather forecast tells us that it's going to be really cold tonight. Scattered flurries before midnight, mostly clouding, and a low of just 8 degrees in the Urbana-Champaign area. Wind chill values between negative 9 and 1. It'll be breezy with a west wind tonight at 15 to 20 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 26. Tomorrow, a bit warmer, but even then, the high is just 21 degrees. Wind chill values will remain really low, between negative 9 and 1. West winds during the day tomorrow, 13 to 18, so bundle up. And then tomorrow night, a 15-degree low. Wind chills a bit better as the wind lays down 2 to 7 degrees above. South winds at 9 to 16 miles an hour. On hand with us this afternoon should be Amy Sage from the Andersons right here in Champaign County to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. Good afternoon. I hope, Amy, that you're with me.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Trying to stay warm. How are basis levels reacting to the cold weather and movement in grain?
Yeah, so we haven't seen a ton of action today in this area anyways, but they have been strengthening and probably will continue to do so if we, as we see farmer movement slow up, and probably not a lot until the first of the year. So probably some positive activity for basis levels in the coming weeks.
How quickly do you think that you'll get all the corn picked up off the ground around the Andersons elevator here in Champaign County?
Well, we'd like to have it picked up by January 17th, but that will definitely depend on if we get the rail that we need.
And are you capable at the moment getting the rail? I know you were having to book things 10 days ahead of time at one point.
Yes, and it still is a struggle. We actually have a one on the tracks right now, which was a little late, but at least they are showing up. So we're hopeful that we will be able to continue to get stuff moved and picked up accordingly, but I guess we don't have any guarantees there at this point.
And so, what are your bids for the day?
Bids for the day. Cash corn is going to be $3.51. January corn, $3.69. Cash soybeans, $10.16. January, $10.26. Cash wheat, $5.37. July, $5.42.5.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thanks, Todd.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Monday afternoon. You can always hear her again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. In just a couple of minutes, I'll be back. We'll take a look at that really cold weather forecast with the folks at EarthRisk Technologies. Of course, they are in Chicago, Illinois. This is Illinois Public Media.
It's Homemade Bread Day. It's also a feast to St. Elizabeth of Hungary, patron of bakers. On this day in agricultural history in 1749, Nicolas Appert was born. Appert was a French cook and inventor who developed the method of preserving food that we call canning. He originally used glass jars sealed with wax and reinforced with wire.
In 1865, William Burton was born, an American chemist. He devised the first thermal cracking process that more than doubled the proportion of gasoline yield from crude oil. His high heat, high pressure process saved more than 1 billion barrels of crude in its first 15 years of operation. In 1869, the Suez Canal opened, linking the Red Sea with the Mediterranean Sea. In 1988, Walmart opened its first supercenter in Wheeler, Oklahoma. It carried fresh meat, produce, dairy products, and baked goods, in addition to other standard supermarket products and discount store merchandise. And in 1996, the World Food Summit concluded. Delegates promised full efforts to ease world hunger. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Of course, it is a Monday afternoon. Let's check the weather forecast. Mark Russo is on the phone line with us. He's at Earth Risk Technologies. Mark, I got to know, what happened? Why is it so doggone cold in November?
Todd can't speak. Too cold right now. So, no.
I know. You think it's cold now? Well, wait till tonight, dude.
Exactly. What, November 17th, it feels, well, like could be December 17th, could be January 17th.
No, it feels like January 17th. Maybe, actually, that would be the thaw. It feels more like
February
2nd. No,
exactly. Well, we feel one of the primary reasons behind this cold, well, two. Number one, actually, the super typhoon that we saw in the western Pacific that recurved and actually bombed out again or intensified across the North Pacific as an extratropical cyclone back around the start of the month. That was one reason that helped to force all this warm air up into Alaska and drive colder air southward here into the U.S. In the intensity of the air mass that we're seeing right now, or the intensity of the cold overall we've seen over the past week, likely associated with the buildup of snow cover, very impressive snow cover that we've seen across Eurasia during October, and now that's being reflected by the highest North American snow cover extent of the past 10 years.
Okay, so do we get warmer or not?
Yes. Yes, good. And we're not talking about next spring here. No, we do see a moderation in temperatures coming up. We still have to go through the next 4 or 5 days here in the Midwest, but this intense air mass, actually a reinforcing shot of Arctic air that's now moving into Illinois here today, that'll begin to change, and we see warmer temperatures moving in for the upcoming weekend. By warmer temperatures, actually readings back to kind of seasonal levels for a couple of days before we do see at least some colder working its way back in. At this time, it doesn't appear that the next kind of shot of cold is going to be as intense, and it's more so kind of a variable pattern, in fact, a bit of a stormier pattern coming up, starting over the weekend and then continuing on the next week. But at least for the extreme cold we're seeing right now, certainly a break in the action coming up.
Any worries in the southern hemisphere at this time?
No, Todd, we have no real concerns across South America. Brazil, we've seen the increase in rain activity in recent weeks. There still are a few very isolated dry pockets here and there, but that's always the case at this time of year. Southern Brazil is on tap to receive significant rains the middle part of this week via a frontal passage. Argentina will actually receive those rains before southern Brazil. They're impacted by the front later on tomorrow and on into Wednesday. And overall, the next 2 weeks, looks like near normal rainfall totals across much of South America, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil. Bottom line, no issues at the present time, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark. We do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Stay warm. Mark Russo, of course, is with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois.